in Milan with the Boxer Rebellion. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
It's nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you too. Yeah.
Even if your hands are very cold. It's fine.
It's fine. So we're used to that. We have cold hands in England.
So I ran for arriving here, but the traffic and everything, and so.
Oh, don't worry. That's okay.
It's very nice to meet you because it's from how many years? About
seven.
7 years.
Really?
Yeah. Since we came to Italy.
Assuming you meant the last time we were here.
Yeah.
It, it, we, so. That was the last time we came here. We supported a band called Editors, our friends, in 2007.
Exactly. Good memory.
October 2007. Almost exactly 7 years.
Yeah. Better than me.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And now you are back here in Italy, and you are back with a live album, so...
Yeah.
President
of the United States is Barack Obama.
We've had three studio albums in that time as well.
Yeah,
not
I
just
know
a
that.
Live album.
And Promises was the album of that was released the past year.
Yep.
And I think that your live show is mostly based on this album.
Yes. Yeah, correct. That's the album that we're still kind of touring. And the song Always is the latest song from that that we've kind of released out here.
So do you want to introduce a bit the album, because it wasn't so famous in the last year here in Italy, so we played it only this weekend in our radio.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
You took your time.
Yeah,
I mean, it's that's kind of how it works sometimes.
We were busy in other places anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that you came to our album a little bit later, because we have time now to come to places like Italy. And on this tour, we're going to a lot of places that we haven't been, some in a long time, some we've never been to before, places like Turkey and Greece, Romania.
That's kind of how it works sometimes, unless you are a huge act where, you know, your album will come out the same week everywhere and everybody knows about it. Sometimes some countries just take a while to actually react to an album being out. And you know, some like me as a punter, I might discover an album myself because it's only just been played on some show and I find out it's been out for 9 months. Doesn't really bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like Adam says, we can't. If it all happened at the same time, it's difficult to get everywhere, so it doesn't really. We'll let you off for only just playing it.
Mm.
I know, but you are more a band that can compose or take an inspiration while it's on tour, or more at
not
a
really.
Band.
Mm-hmm. We don't really write on tour at all. And it's never been a problem. We're pretty good at writing when we're home. We have probably a little bit more time at home than other bands, and we've got our own studio in London, and it's very relaxed. And once we actually get our heads down and start writing, we tend to write very quickly. I don't really feel... It would be very different to write on the road, and I don't ever feel like we need to. And when we're on the road, I feel like our shows are, you know, better for just focusing on being out and doing gigs, rather than having to worry. We're not on a major label where we're being hounded by people saying you need to have this and that done by the end of the month or something. And I guess that must be, that's probably why a lot of acts do write on the road, because they really have to.
Mm-hmm.
But in our situation, in that we have control over what we're doing a lot, I just feel like we work best keeping them separate.
You know, because maybe the two main ideas of people considering your music genre is the first, they will be a bit depressed, and the second is, well, maybe their music sounds better in studio than, but it's not true. Because, you know, it's a limit.
I think people, I think when people write serious music or people create serious art, if there's thoughtfulness to it, it's very easy to say, oh, that person's depressed. But there's lightness in our music too. It just doesn't have to happen to be poppy or instant and summery like some bands can be. You know, we haven't got any banjos on our album, and we don't
want any.
Yeah, and you know, we don't have backing dancers, and you know, music doesn't have to be fun and happy all the time to make you think. And neither does any other form of art.
Maybe music with banjos isn't so lifting to, but.
To some people, that makes them depressed. Yeah, sure.
Okay, because we had an interview this year at Primavera with Twilight Set, and, the most of the interview was laughing. So okay. It's not okay. Being miserable having this kind of dark music.
We're pretty stupid, really. I've been asked this a few times, you know, you're really dark. No, we're not at all.
We joke a lot.
Yeah, we talk a lot of crap.
I think that is
we
normal.
We talk a lot of shit.
Yeah. No, just that. I feel like that kind of music is where we all generally meet.
Yeah, and our shows aren't grim and, you know, there's a lot of dancey, upbeat stuff. You'll see tonight.
Okay, you had a lot of supporting roles, even with the Ravenettes that we met tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Have you got any message?
We haven't seen them really since about 7 years.
No.
Yeah.
You had an incident with the drummer.
Oh,
didn't you?
So, what was your favorite one? Not talking
about our favorite support.
Yeah.
Really, Editors, because we've been friends with them since we were the first band they supported,
mm-hmm.
and we've been friends with them since they weren't even Editors; they were another band, and it's been really great to see each other's progression over the years, and it has been years. It's been like 10 to 11 years, really, and. But the tour we did with them, you know, Seven, was kind of in between album one and two, and there was a long time in between album one and two where we had been releasing a label. We weren't really sure what was going on with the second album, other than the fact that we had it written, really. It took a while to get it out, but they gave us that opportunity to tour with them, and it was quite a long tour, mm-hmm. about 5 or 6 weeks, but it was really the first time we got out of the UK to do a proper tour, and we actually got a lot of fans as a result that still come to shows now. And I think it really, in terms of our career, in all seriousness, it was a really great point to do that tour. We needed something like that, and we had a great time. I think it really got our touring juices flowing a little bit more, and they're really nice people to tour with. And when you tour with your friends, it's very difficult with touring with just another band that you might take a while to try and get to know, or you might not even get on. But we knew we'd got on before we even started, and I just remember that being a really fun few weeks.
Cool. And now it's upcoming, your live album. I was working on it because it's different from a studio album, because you have to play and then.
Yeah, it's out. It's out now, and yeah, you're right. Not nearly as much work has to go into it, and we really wanted to do it because so many people don't get to see us live. We can't go to every place in the world, and so many people write to us saying, "Play in India and come to the Philippines and come to Argentina," and we can't get there. So it's a good thing for us to have a live experience recorded in that way. And also for people who just can't get enough of a show, they can relive the show afterwards by listening to the CD. But yeah, it's a fun thing to do, and it's a good thing to have in your catalogue. We have 4 studio albums, so it's a nice change to have that.
Okay. And about the crapness that you say, I follow you on the social network. It's not stalking.
Okay.
And
yeah, I mean, so you did a lot of crapness.
You agree that we
exactly
talk crap?
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. So how is approaching for you the social network? Because as a band, I see that it's quite posh.
Posh.
One with with nice speaks.
But
you are very relaxed and very.
I think there's a fine line between mm-hmm. engaging with fans every so often, checking in with them, and being proactive on social networks, and then maybe going too far and oversharing. If you overshare and you post 5-6 times a day mm-hmm. every little thought, then it becomes, it goes into the territory of demystifying the whole band. If you're tweeting a picture of what you had for breakfast, or you're thinking out loud some mundane thought about what you're gonna, which bar you're gonna go out to, then the mystery of being in the band is totally gone. So there's a balance between it.
I didn't really want to. It was a bit of a weird time, and because we're a pretty independent band, and we do go out and we do make an effort with fans more than most bands, really. I think in terms of, say, like after every gig, we go and do the merch after shows and sign everything and do every picture that everybody needs or wants. And so Twitter, for example, is something that, and I know as a fan of other things myself, it's really interesting for me to say sports people, to actually see them in normal situations. I do unfollow people that tweet all the time, but I find it really interesting to see them, you know, like having dinner with other players or what have you, or just being normal, because some people, because musicians and sports people, and they're elevated to positions that they should never really be elevated to, and it's nice to see them being normal. Mm-hmm. But I would say that we weren't particularly enthusiastic about going on Twitter initially, but it's something that kind of has to follow this process that we're in. And it's fun sometimes, but the other times I feel, particularly when we're at home, and we're just day in, day out, when we're writing in a studio, every day we're writing different things, but not many interesting things happen. Mm-hmm. And I found myself sometimes getting on the train, going up to London, thinking, what, I should really tweet something. And it can be crap. That's probably the crap you're talking about. It's a lot easier to tweet when you're on the road, because everything's a bit different, other than maybe doing the same gig. But
no, it's, for me, it's the same when I am at festival. Oh, look at this. And when I am at home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I have to shoot.
Yeah, look at
my
this.
My breakfast.
RateMyPoo.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one wants to see that.
Okay. So what about Nest? There's any plan for near future? Or?
Yeah, we've written most of a new album.
Mm-hmm.
And we're recording it at the beginning of next year.
Oh, cool.
And more of the same. We'll release a record next year.
No, it won't be the same. Hopefully,
more of the continuation of every album being like much better than the last one. This next one's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. I'm proud of you.
Thank
okay.
you. So it's nice.
And a quick tip on your band for people that never heard of you before. How can you describe your band?
In a nutshell.
How we describe this band?
It's difficult.
I've been given the eyebrows from Adam, which is basically saying, "You answer this, because I don't want to answer this. I don't really."
I answered that same question last time.
Yeah, I can't remember what you said.
Said for people who've never heard of us, they can trust in a band that hasn't really followed anything other than what they've wanted to do. We've always written the music that we've wanted to write, and we love the music that we write. And it sounds obvious, but other bands, they follow the trends, what sounds good this summer, and maybe if I write a song like this other band, then other people will like me. We've always been true to ourselves, and I think you can hear that in our music. We've always tried to be original. And so, yeah, if people like that kind of thing in an alternative guitar-based situation, then we're your band.
We're very honest. That's why we talk a lot of crap.
Thank you so much,
Thank
guys.
Thank you.
Grazie. See you.